Is this too far away from the speaker's mat? Or, it sounds like it's okay. I'll try not to walk very far, but y'all know me. I pace. I can't help it. While you were praying that, I was also praying that the Lord would help me to not say anything that's wrong, and that we would just He would be glorified through what I say. I also told you last time, and I reiterated, I'm a crier. I have Kleenex in my pocket. I don't have this one timer. I don't have a timer up there because this one's shorter than last time. But I have 12 pages, and last time I only had 10. But I'm not having as many stories in between. So as we get ready for Thanksgiving, I have been doing a lot of thinking about what does that really mean. And as a Christian, that should be the first thing that we have, is thankfulness for all that He's given us. So we've got Thanksgiving coming up here in 4 days. And as I was kind of thinking this through, because like Jake said, we didn't expect Jake to be here. So it was just a week ago that we decided, wow, we better come up with plan B, because Brooke was going into labor, and, you know, false labor, it turns out. But we were like, we didn't know. So here I am. And so I've had this week to be thinking about thankfulness. And we have so much to be thankful for. So I thought maybe the best way to start it would be to start it back on why Thanksgiving became a holiday. So I have a page here, and it's Abraham Lincoln's speech. It's his proclamation of when he gave Thanksgiving to be an official holiday for Americans. And when you listen to it, listen to how he trusts so much in the Almighty Hand. And then let's start relating that to what it's like for us today. I mean, there's so much more. But let's start with Abraham Lincoln's proclamation, which was back on October 3rd of 1863. It says, "The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations, order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict, while that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union. Needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements, and the mines, as well of iron and coal as of the precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield, and the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom." We're almost done with this, but listen to this part. This is the part that we really all, especially as followers of Christ, need to take to heart. "No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gift of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up such ascriptions justly due to Him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also, with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience, commend to His tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners or sufferers in this lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union." Then he goes and he puts his official stamp on that. And you cannot help but notice as we look at what our country was founded on and what Thanksgiving was founded on, that, I'm going to put my tablet back here. I couldn't read my notes on that because it was, the printer ran out of ink. But as we look at what we were founded on and look at where our basis comes from, and then further where we think about who we are as God's children, we cannot help but be thankful. So as we hear that, let's look at what the Bible talks about with thanksgiving. A biblical definition of thankfulness is heartfelt gratitude to God expressed in response to his love and mercy. Psalm 100 is a psalm of thanksgiving, and all throughout the Bible, thanksgiving is continually talked about. It says, "Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we're his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." So as I began to put this sermon together in my mind, there were four things that I really wanted to talk about, and to me they seemed to logically progress from one to the next. So let's look at these four things and what I want to cover in this sermon, and I hope that they mean as much to you as they meant to me when I was looking them up. The four things in order that we're going to go through now, or as Christians, our call to be thankful. And secondly, we're going to look at the relationship between thankfulness, praise, and contentment. And if you're in this world, you know that most of the people around you, and maybe even yourself at times, are not content. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Number three, how can I express to you, God, thank you for all that you've done for me? And we're going to conclude with just a small fodder, a little something to get us thinking about things that we can be thanking for God, or thanking God for daily. So our call to be thankful in 1 Thessalonians verses, or chapter 4, the whole of 1 Thessalonians is Paul writing to Thessalonica and saying, hey, you need to get ready for the Lord's return. Be ready for the Lord's return. So in preparation for that day, Christians are called to be living blameless and holy lives. And part of that is being thankful. Thankfulness is part of being holy and blameless. So if we look at 1 Thessalonians 4, and it's under the subtitle, Live to Please God. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God, as we've taught you. You live this way already, and we encourage you to do so even more, for you remember what we taught you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. As you continue that, it gets right into how we actually live this out. This is in chapter 5. Remember, in original Bible days, they weren't listed by chapters. They just listed. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work. Remember, these are our instructions on how to live a holy life. And live peaceably with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that's said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. The Amplified Bible, to make it even more clear and drive the point home, in every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for us. Look around our world. It's pretty messed up. Children don't thank their parents for what they do. The world lacks common courtesy. We live in an entitled world, thankless world. In fact, I was thinking the other day as I was going through something at work with, and I'm no different, my job is no different than any of yours. Everywhere you turn, everybody is entitled, 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 or it's always about them. And I was thinking of a bumper sticker I saw right after we moved to Utah 30 plus years ago, and the title of the bumper sticker actually said, "Welcome to Utah, land of me first, then you." And I'm like, okay. But that doesn't apply to just to Utah. That applies to the world. The world. Me first, then you. Ungrateful. We deserve what we have, we think, right? We deserve it. We take for granted the ways that others help us. But most importantly, we fail to thank God for his blessings. This one's going to be a really hard one for me. We fail to thank God for his blessings, yet in every situation, Paul tells us, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for those who follow Christ, his children. But that isn't natural, so how do we do that? Thankfulness isn't natural. Not natural at all. It's only when we see God's fatherly, providential, loving care that we can respond with thanksgiving in all circumstances. We can respond in every situation when we know who he is. It springs from faith in a sovereign God. This is something that I hope we carry away from this sermon too. One of the things that kept coming up to me as I was studying for it was that thanksgiving to God for all his blessings should be one of the most distinctive marks that we have. When people see us, they should see people that are thankful. No matter what. No matter what. That's hard. Don't get me wrong. That's not an easy thing to do. But having an ungrateful heart, it hardens us and it affects our relationship to God. It affects our relationship to others. But what does being ungrateful do? What does it do to us? It makes us bitter. It makes us critical, selfish, dissatisfied. You see it all around you. We see it everywhere we look. We see it at work. We see it with our neighbors. We see it at the grocery store. You know, in Jesus' day, if you had leprosy, you were cut off from the people. You had to go and live on the outside. You had to say unclean, unclean everywhere you went. In Leviticus 13, it says, anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. And as long as they have the disease, they must remain unclean, or they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. Now, just for reference there, for those of you that are bald, in that same chapter, it also says a man who has lost his hair and is bald is clean. So me and Jake are okay. Anyone else? We're But one day, 10 lepers approached Jesus outside a village, pleading with him to heal him. And in an instant, he healed them. He restored them all to perfect health. And all but one, they all left. One, only one out of the 10 came back to thank him. As Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. He entered a village there. 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God! He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. That makes me take a look at myself. And I hope each of you take a look at yourself. What about us? Are we ungrateful? Are we discontented? Only you can answer that. And I know there have been times when I have been. In fact, I don't want to admit it, but probably far more times that I'm not thankful than when I am. But we need to keep in mind that because God is the Almighty King, the events of our life, even the bad things, they're not beyond His reach. We're meant to give thanks to God because He has the ability to override evil and use it for good. He is God. He is awesome. And we have so much to be thankful for. You know, in the Bible, and I didn't recognize this. I mean, I'd read through the passages, and all of us, I think, probably at one point or another, have read through Romans, especially chapter 1 there, where it's talking about how, well, I won't preempt, but in Romans 1, I'd read past it a lot. But I didn't really recognize what I was reading in the context of thankfulness until I read it this week. And giving thanks to God is such a foundational importance to us as Christians that God actually will judge people for not being thankful. It's a basis for judgment. Romans 1:21 says, for although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Thanksgiving is central to the Christian life, and ingratitude is contrary to it. As Christians, we are called to be thankful. And when we think about what we have to be thankful for, you can't help it. Again, Christians should be known for their thankfulness. That's one of the things that people should see and that should be within our hearts at all times. It's got to be a distinctive mark for us. In the Old Testament, I picked three verses. They were just random verses, and this is just a small list, and then I picked three verses in the New Testament, maybe four, and they reflect on Thanksgiving, and the whole Bible is replete with it. Old Testament says, you are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Save us, O Lord, our God, and gather us from the nations that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Now, that doesn't change when it gets to the New Testament. In fact, Paul, in almost all of his letters, he starts by saying some kind of thanks. And he commands us with the Lord's authority to be thankful. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing, bursting with thankfulness. Think about that. I thought about that a lot this week and realized how far I fall from that, but that's an issue between me and God, and I hope that if you're not thankful in everything, that you begin to ask God to show you all these wonderful things we have to be thankful for. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for us. We just read that. And there are so many more. So I hope you can see clearly in the first of four areas that we're hoping to hit, I hope you can see that we have a calling to be thankful to God. And when we know Him, that's usually really easy to do. But it's not always. But as I read the Bible, I see that thankfulness and contentment and praise, they're all related, and each one of them is worth a study on its own. But for a short period here, let's look at how they all interrelate, because they very much interrelate. How is thankfulness related to praise? The Bible is full of commands to give thanks to God, because it's not our human instinct. It's not natural. And in that way, we're out of sync with the rest of the universe. The rest of the created world will offer praise, and we'll talk about that. Jesus once said that if human beings didn't praise and thank God, the stones of the earth would cry out in our place. In Luke, then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Praising God, praise and thanks to God, they seem to be the natural response to the rest of the created world. And if we saw things the way they really were, that should be our natural response too. How is thankfulness related to contentment? Nothing will give you contentment. Nothing will restore it quite like an attitude, a true spirit of thankfulness. When you're thankful, it's much easier to be content. One dictionary defines contentment as the state of being mentally or emotionally satisfied with things as they are. Today, it's rare that we find anyone that's content. But the Bible has a lot to say about contentment. Being satisfied with what we have, who we are, where we're going. I have a picture in my office. I've had it in there for 12 years. And it's a picture, and it says, it's just a nice little frame picture, and it's prominently mounted in my office so that as people walk in, they see it. It says, "Contentment is not the fulfillment of what you want, but the realization of how much you already have." Now, over the last 12 years of being a manager, 13 years now, I guess, I've had a lot of people come in. They're very unsatisfied with life. Nothing is making... Now, obviously, we all know that the only way to be content in life is to know Christ. But it sometimes is good, even for those that don't know him, to look and say, you know what, I have been given so much. Of course, they don't understand the source of that. But my point is that even the outside world, sometimes if they just stop and realize what they have, they can see they have a lot more than they think. So that even triples for us as Christians. We know what we have. We need to reflect on it, and we need to thank him who gives all things to us. When we're thankful, we start to see our life differently. We see it through God's eyes. We're not problem-centered at that point. We're God-centered. That in itself is an incredible relief. When we're thankful, it helps us realize that we're not defined by our problems or our circumstances, but we can rest in his care. God has gone ahead of our problems. He can override our problems. If we belong to Jesus, we're not defined by our failures. We're not defined by our sins, our weaknesses, our enemies. God will have the last word. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Notice he didn't say everything you want, but he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. And in Matthew, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are burdened or weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." As soon as we're thankful, we enter into the presence of God. And we're reminded instantly that we're not alone in our situation. We're not isolated. We're not fighting our battles on our own. When we're thankful, we remember that we're living our life in God's presence and by his provision and at his pleasure. Being thankful isn't just a technique to make you happy. You know, it's talk ourselves into a positive frame of mind. Thankfulness reminds us that we have a relationship with the living God, the God, the awesome God, and that he's listening, and he's involved, and he's there with us. Being thankful doesn't mean living in denial either. It doesn't mean suppressing your feelings or ignoring reality, because reality can be tough. It means bringing all those cares to our God who's promised to love us and thanking him because he does care for us. So I hope you see I'm making these points pretty quickly and we're moving on, but I hope you see the relationship between thankfulness and contentment and thankfulness and praise, because they're inextricably related. So how do we express gratitude, or better yet, how do we say, Lord, how can I say thanks for what you've done for me? The first and foremost thing that we can do to thank God for all he has done for us and all he continues to do for us is have a 100% commitment to Jesus Christ and to the gospel. 100%. Romans 12:1. Present yourselves a living sacrifice. It says, therefore I beseech you. Now beseech you, a definition is ask urgently and fervently to do something, implore, entreat. Some dictionaries say beg. I beg you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. That's how we show thanks. A living sacrifice to the first century people, pagans and Jews, they all knew what sacrifices were. And to beseech them or to beg them to make themselves a living sacrifice was a striking image. The sacrifice is living because it's brought alive to the altar. And the sacrifice is living because it stays alive at the altar. It's ongoing. So ongoingly offer yourselves to God as a living sacrifice. And that pleases him. And that is gratitude. That is how we show God that we love him and we're thankful for it. And secondly, how we show our thanks to God is by giving. It's by giving. Because everything is his. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Psalm 50, verses 10 to 12, for the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains, or on the mountains, and all the animals of the field are mine. All the world is mine and everything in it. Everything we have is his. And we only have it temporarily because he gave it to us. So there's not one thing we have, not one thing that is not his. In Exodus 35, Moses had just come down off the mountain. He's getting the tabernacle instructions. He comes down. He gathers all the people together, and he says to the whole community of Israel, this is what the Lord has commanded. Take a sacred offering for the Lord. Let those with generous hearts present the following gifts to the Lord. Gold, silver, bronze, the list goes on. Come, all of you who are gifted craftsmen, construct everything the Lord has commanded. So the whole community of Israel left Moses and returned to their tents. They're thinking this out. They left. They've gone to their tents. All whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits were moved came and brought their sacred offerings to the Lord. They brought all the materials needed for the tabernacle. So, a couple verses later, so Moses summoned Bezalel and Aholiab and all the others who were specially gifted by the Lord and were eager to get to work. Moses gave them the materials donated by the people of Israel as sacred offerings for the completion of the sanctuary. But the people continued to bring additional gifts each morning. Finally, the craftsmen who were working on the sanctuary left their work. They went to Moses and reported, the people have given us more than enough materials to complete the job the Lord has commanded us to do. So Moses gave a command, and the message was sent throughout the camp. Men and women, don't prepare any more gifts for the sanctuary. We have enough. So the people stopped bringing their sacred offerings. Their contributions were more than enough to complete the whole project. When you're grateful, you express it by giving back to God what he already owns. Luke 21, as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple's treasury. He He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. "Truly, I tell you," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. By giving all that she had to live on, she was placing herself wholly and without reservation into the hands of God." 100%. And why did she do that? Because she was grateful. Matthew Henry, the commentator, he writes, "From the offering of this poor widow, learn that what we rightly give for the relief of the poor and the support of God's worship is given unto God, and our Savior sees with pleasure whatever we have in our hearts to give for the relief of his members or for his service." So when we know who God is and we're thankful for who he is and we see all the ways he takes care of us, we give back to him so that the work can continue and others can come to know that same one. When you understand God's grace, it results in thanksgiving. And then thanksgiving results in generosity. You bring an offering to the Lord for the work of the gospel. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. That perfume was worth a year's wages. But she was grateful, and she gave. Now, this isn't something to make you feel guilty. I'm not guilting anybody. If the Spirit's doing it, then so be it. But the reality is, living a life that's sacrificed to God and giving what already belongs to him, that's how we show thanks. So that's bullet number three. We're coming up to bullet number four, the last one. Because I struggle with having a thankful heart at times, I've also had to stop a few times and look for ways to be thankful. And as I was preparing this sermon this week, I got online and I found a devotion. It was a 31-day devotion on cultivating a thankful heart. Well, I took several of these items, I think 15 or 16, because a lot of them were quasi-repetitive, and you know, if you're looking to fill in 31 days, you got to kind of start getting repetitive a little bit, I think, but we have so many personal things that we can be thankful for. So I took these items, and I tried to break them into my own words. But these are just some thoughts to help us be mindful of what we have to be thankful for. And first of all, we can thank God for our salvation in Christ. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he's poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He's so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has lavished. Do you understand the word lavished? I mean, it is overflowing. It is beyond anything. It's lavished his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. So the first thing we can be thankful for is our salvation in Christ. Second thing we can be thankful for is we can thank him for today. Today is not promised. And there are some people within here and some people that haven't been here, that aren't here today. They're going through some very difficult things. Terminal things. But none of us are guaranteed even our next breath. We don't know when that will be. And every morning I was talking to someone at Open Hand yesterday, and they were talking about how they were thankful every morning when they woke up. And I'm like, wow, I wish I could be that way. But you know what? I'm asking the Lord to help me see all the things to be thankful for. But today is not guaranteed. And we can thank him for it. Thank him for his perfect timing. Any of you that have been walking with the Lord for any length of time at all know that he has a specific plan for our life, and sometimes you don't see it when you're in the midst of it, and sometimes the easiest way to see it is when you're looking back on it, and you can see, wow, Lord, you were awesome. You were amazing. You did everything in your timing, and in ways that I didn't even see coming, you took care of it. We can thank him for True North. We come in here That's awesome, Steffi. We can thank him because we get to come in here and we get to be encouraged. We can have corporate worship. We can connect with our brothers and sisters. And we don't have to worry about what some other churches around the world are facing. We can be thankful because we're in America for now. I mean, we'll see where that all goes. But we have a lot to be thankful for that we can meet without any fear. And while I'm here on being thankful for True North and being with our brothers and sisters and having corporate worship, we also need to remember to pray for Jake and pray that God would guide his church into furthering the cause of Christ. And we can thank him for his faithfulness. How many times have you seen God's faithfulness? Sometimes you don't have to look very hard, and it's just right there. And I have so many stories, and someday, Lord willing, I'll have an opportunity to come up here, and we'll be able to tell stories of God's faithfulness, just an open hand. And when I look at open hand, and I can apply that to my life, each one of us can, but God is faithful, so faithful. Thank him for annoyances. Now, this is one I left right out of the book. All these other ones have my own writing in there, but this one I left right out of the book, and I'm going to read it. It's kind of corny, but man, it applied to me this week. Some days it can be hard to feel thankful when there's a cranky kid, 13 loads of dirty clothes, a kitchen that looks like a crime scene, and a busted radiator. I got a busted radiator, and it's the second time I've fixed it. It's a defective manufacturer defect. Okay, it's not me. But I still don't want to do it, and I have had a hard time. This is a true story. I've had a hard time this week trying to get thankful about that. It's a six-hour ordeal, and it's cold. And I'm like, but the more I've thought about it and let this kind of sink in a little bit this week, I realize, you know what, Lord, thank you that I have a garage to work on it in. Thank you that I have the means to buy the radiator. Thank you that I have the mechanical ability to do it without paying somebody else to do it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. There's a lot of things to be thankful for. No matter what the setbacks and aggravations, and no matter how we feel, one thing remains the same. He goes through these problems and these annoyances with us. He's present in the trials. Even the smallest of trials don't go unnoticed by him. Thank him for the hard stuff. And thank him for using these things to strengthen your dependency on him and to have more faith. Thank him for prayer. Do you ever think about what it's like? You are able to pray to the God of the universe. And further, when you look at the Bible even more, he talks about he knows everything about you, knows every number of the hair on your head, everything you say before you say it. He knows every day in your book, everything he knows. And he bends down his ear. I love this. I love the Lord in Psalm 116 because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. Do you understand the awesome thing that we have by talking to God, the God? We can talk to him. He's right there. You got a lot to be thankful for with that. We all do. I'm almost done. So see, this has gone a lot faster. Thank him for his provision. Now, we take that for granted. And I have to tell you, for a long time, and about 5 years ago, I started changing the way that we say things around the Whitaker house, at least in my mind. Well, we do it, but I mean, it's been something that still creeps back in. You hear people say, like when they sit down to eat, anybody want to say grace? I've thought for a long time, what does that mean? I can't bless the food. I can't do anything, but I can thank him for it. So we changed, I changed my phraseology on that. It's now, anybody want to tell the Lord thank you? And when we really think about how he provides for us, all of our needs, he's delivered us, he's comforted us, he's provided us, provided for us in a way no other can. He's meeting our needs of shelter, food, and clothing. And he cares for his entire church, not just True North, not just in Utah, but across the world. We look at these people in Somalia, and they're still being taken care of by God. God cares for us, and he provides for us. And sometimes you have to reorient your thinking to actually stop and get on your knees, at least in your heart, and say, Lord, thank you. Have you ever been just doing something randomly? And this has happened to me a few times. It happens more and more frequently. I'll just be somewhere, and all of a sudden, I just have this overwhelming thankfulness that cannot be brought on by Ken, but it's like all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, and you can't help but raise your hands and say, thank you. Thank you. We can thank God for peace. That is a big one. We live in a world that's chaotic, it's crazy, it's pretty bad. I don't know how many times, and I know that this has happened with some of you because I've talked to some of you, but I think it happens with every Christian. It should, if it doesn't, where you can just stop in the midst of the chaotic world and you can stop and say, oh, Lord, thank you. Just the peace that He gives you that the world does not know is overwhelming at times. And I don't know, I've thought about this a lot at Open Hand with people that come in and they don't know Christ and they're going through these difficult things and I'm like, how do you do that? I don't know how they do it because I know how I have to fall back on Him and thank Him for what He is and the peace that I get from that. And we all have access to that indescribable peace. Thank God for our families. Sometimes family members are a little difficult, but we thank Him anyway. And we learn from them. Thank God for your family members, even the ones who disappoint and who are difficult. Thank Him in advance for helping you show grace and unconditional love when a member of your family lets you down. Thank Him about what you learn from your family. Every single one of us has a family member that's a skeleton in the closet. And yet, when we are truly where we need to be, God will have us thank Him for that. Because you learn a lot through that. Thank God for creature comforts. Ever think about that? Electricity, running water, gas, the internet, vehicles. You ever just sit down at the end of a long day and you sit down and you have a cold or a hot drink sitting down there beside you and you're just on your easy chair and you're just looking at TV? Maybe y'all don't have that. But there is something in your life that brings you comfort like that and you can just sit down like, thank you, Lord, for this. I'm asking us to think of ways to cultivate our thankful heart. We're almost done. In fact, we could probably get pretty close to the peeps coming back up. Thank God for how the story ends. That's not to be taken lightly. I was talking to someone, a volunteer, a Christian, at Open Hand yesterday, and he's going through some difficult things, and he's going through some stuff at work. And as we were talking, there is great comfort in knowing how the story ends. The world is crazy. Life can be crazy. Work or not work, depending on your situation, your life can be rough. But we know that we have an awesome God, and we don't have to think about how it could be because we know how it will be. And we were thinking about that. I was just thinking about that this morning in Sunday school. We're doing our comparative religion between Mormonism and the Bible. And I was thinking this morning how nice it is for us. A Mormon person, if they truly follow the Mormon faith, they don't know what the future holds because their revelations contain continually. But for us, we know. We know. And we know God wins. And that's exciting. We know when it's all said and done, God will prevail, that there will be a day when there's no more pain. And that really applies to some of you, and some of you, the ones that I'm specifically thinking of, and there may be others, are not here today. But we all do know that there will be a day when there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering, and all that's wrong will be made right. Tell God how thankful you are that there will come a day when He will wipe away your tears. And thank Him that someday we're going to be able to see Him face to face and sit at His feet in worship. And He is an awesome God. All wounds will be healed. And lastly, and we'll close with this and then we'll have our communion prayer. Thank God for the Bible. Now we might take it for granted, but there are cultures and nations and Christians across the world that would do anything to get one Bible. Some of them get a page and they compare it with other pages that someone else has. We have Bibles. Most of us have multiple Bibles. But when you look at what is in the Bible and the truth it contains. And I love that, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, you don't, as Christians, we don't check our faith at the door. Christianity is a logical and reasonable faith, and the Bible is absolutely a reasonable and historically accurate document. And there is a lot to be thankful for. It's life. How many times do you go to bed, or maybe your time is in the morning, and you just, you long to pick it up and read it? We have it. We can do it. We need to. And as we get ready for communion, because that's the end, that's all my notes, I hope that as we talk through these 14 or 15 issues that we are points, that gives us enough fodder to think about the things that we could be thankful for in our lives. There's so much more. But if anything, I hope out of this sermon that we all can especially are convicted of our lack of thankfulness, and we look for ways to be thankful, because when we see him for who he is, it's everything. So we'll pray for communion, but one of the things that I don't know when the peeps are coming, so I don't want to mess up the timing of this thing, but one of the things that I think of frequently when we have communion is the fact that we cannot do one thing on our own. I listen to music sometimes when I'm taking a shower, and I had this one song that came on earlier in the week, and I'm like, well, that's timely, and it's called Thankful by Cademan's Call, and it's in there. He's talking about, I am thankful that there's not one thing I can do on my own. And this is what we're going to celebrate with communion. We can't do a thing. All of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. How would we ever get to heaven? We cannot do it apart from the one way that he provided, and he loves us so much. He made the way, and there's not one thing we can do apart from trust in his way. Every other religion, I was thinking about this morning, every other religion requires that we do something to get there, and it's still not even secure for them, right? You got to act right, you got certain rituals, you have all these things. Every single other religion requires works on your part, except for Christianity, and he does it all for us because he is awesome. And he knows, when you research, when you look at your heart and you internally look at yourself, you know there's not a thing we can do. And you can be so thankful that he knew that too, and he fixed it. So as we do communion, I'm going to thank him for it and remember, and we're going to look at this in remembrance, because just as we got through talking about, there's nothing we can do, but he's done it, and he's asked us to remember what he's done, and that's communion in a nutshell. But when you go back and you pick up the elements, when you are through, you take them, when you are through worshiping, and this is a very serious thing. Communion is only for those who are in the family of God. Bible takes it seriously. God takes it seriously. So if you're not in fellowship with the Lord, don't take communion. Communion is serious. And it's a time of remembrance for those who are following him on what he's done for us. Because apart from him, we have nothing. Father, I just want to thank you as we prepare for communion, that there's not one thing that we can do. Not one. And Father, as we recall what you've done for us, Lord, may we also be having hearts that are generated by thankfulness to you, that we think of the things that we can do to live as a sacrifice to you, that we can see those around us in our lives that also need to hear your gospel. Father, that we would look at this time of communion as being a time of remembrance of the fact that you bent down your ear, you knew our needs, and you knew that we could never do them on our own. But you did. And we recall now what Jesus has done for us. And we thank you for not only what he has done, but what is ongoing for all of eternity because of the grace that you have showed us in him. And we thank you, Lord. We do thank you so much for what you have done and do. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So when the music starts and you walk back and get yours, when the music is over, communion is over. You take it when your heart is prepared before God.